Righty. I know why some of you guys are tired. Some of you guys are tired because Mama had a honey-do list for you with this nice weather, and you are worn out. I saw Mark at Lowe's yesterday. I'm pretty sure Sharla had a leash and was kind of pulling him along like this. Pick up that, get that, pull that, get, come on. Hey. Something like that, wasn't it? Yeah, I get it. I get it. I'm going to pray on this passage. I'm going to try and explain and teach something that will just benefit us. This is so relevant for us as Christians, as growing Christians. And so, it's way bigger than me, and I just want to do it right. I want to do it right by you, by the Lord. I just want to do this thing right. And I am absolutely thrilled that some of our young people, our older young people, are staying in here. Caleb, I'm so glad you're here. Jade, I'm so glad you're here. Even Emma and Ella, if they get any of this, it's just going to be good for you to get it now, get it early, understand it early. It'll make more sense out of church to you. It's just good stuff. So let me just ask the Lord to help me. I surely need it. Lord, as we open your word, we receive it, we look at it as your word. This is the word of God. This is the word as if you spoke it yourself. That's how we're going to receive it. And our hearts, our humanity, as fallen Christians, fallen humans, it may be difficult to absorb. So I really pray for you to help us, help me to communicate it well, and help us all to absorb the truth of what you have declared over your creation. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 3. And as Paul wrote this letter to this church at Philippi, apparently, there was some stinking thinking going on. But at this church, there were three kinds of people to be addressed. So when you view church, understand there are three sorts, kinds of people there, and they were at Philippi, they're at Any Church USA, they're at Cornerstone Christian Church. There are three kinds of people in any church on any given day at any time. Number one, there are people there who are of the flesh, of the flesh. That's a very common thing you'll read in the Bible, of the flesh or the flesh or something like that. And basically, as Romans chapter 8 says, if you are led by the flesh, you're not a believer. But they're in churches and they're there with somewhat of good intention, but they are in church, but they are of the flesh. And so we're going to describe and define and what the flesh is like this morning. And I think it's going to surprise you. But we're going to talk a bit about this flesh. There are people in churches at Philippi in the United States of America at Cornerstone who are of the flesh. They come to church, but they really have no intention of surrendering their life, their things, or the throne of their life to Christ's will and glory. They come to church regularly, maybe participate even, but they really have no intention of a full surrender of their life, their things, or their leadership of their life to Christ's will and leadership to glory. They believe about Jesus, but won't follow him. They will only follow and go where they let themselves go. They love the story about Jesus and they hope that gets them somewhere. But they will not follow him. Their flesh is their guide. Secondly, there are immature believers in any church, in every church. There are immature believers. And I would reference you to Hebrews chapter 5, says this. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food of the word, is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice in the word to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. So that little passage should startle you in what it just said. It just said that if you're unskilled in the word, you're immature. If you're unskilled in God's word, you're immature. You've heard the basic fundamentals of the faith. And he's actually telling us to leave them. Leave the introduction to Christ, to repentance, to laying on of hands, to washings, to eternal judgment. You've been introduced to that. Now leave it and go on to maturity. Read this. It's an amazing statement. You're unskilled in the word. So you've been introduced to Jesus, to his cross, to repentance. We're not going to leave the subject. We're going to leave the introduction of it. And now we have to put it on like a pair of pants and start living every moment in it. That's where he wants us to go, into maturity. These are immature. They're babies. They're toddlers, he calls them. They're unskilled in the word. Their discernment is slowed or stunted. It's just at toddler level because they're unskilled in the word and in their discernment of life. He actually told them, leave the introductory principles of Jesus Christ. Put them on and start living them. So they're immature. One guy put it this way. I just heard this on the radio this morning. It's awesome. He said, some people have been saved for 20 years. And some people have been saved for 1 year 20 times. They've never left that 1 year. Immature. In any church in America, there are people here who just enjoy being here, participating, singing. They're of the flesh. They are. Jesus is not driving that boat. There are immature people in every church, our church, any church, and that's where they're at. They're legitimately believers, but they are unskilled in the word and in discernment and in pulling up the doctrines of Christ and living them. And then that third person, obviously, in any church, is the mature believer. We're going to come to the mature believer this morning, how he thinks, what he does. And this person is here in Philippians chapter 3. This is what Paul is writing about. He says in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. So this is going to teach us how mature people think and move and put on those doctrines of Christ and go out into our lives, how we get off the throne. That's what this passage is about this morning, being mature in Christ. So, with that said, Philippians chapter 3, let me read a few verses to you, beginning at verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and it's safe for you. Apparently, I would say, Paul has already written maybe to them or have been talking to them about this, or somebody has. So he feels like he's giving them lesson number two or three in this same subject. And he says, to write the same things, it's not a trouble to me, but it's safe for you. He's going to tell them, beware of these people. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. He used a little bit of a word play right there. Circumcision is this like paratome word, but he used a word that sounds almost like that. It's a tome, but it's very close, and it was kind of, they might have giggled. But instead of cutting around like circumcision, it's more of a butcher job. It's more of a mutilation. So that's why my Bible says mutilate. It's just like hack, hack, hack. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. We are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Listen how many times he repeats that. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, also if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. So, this confidence in the flesh, these people, these dogs, evildoers, and mutilators of the flesh, they are to beware of them. They are to discern them. They are to pick up on who they are. That's why I'm absolutely thrilled Caleb and Jade are in here, some of you younger believers, because this is for us to be aware of those of the flesh. Be aware in your congregation. This is exactly out of God's word. Be careful here. Discern this. So we have to know what is a person of the flesh. Now, I'm guessing that anyone in here, if I were to say, who is a person who lives by the flesh? What are the works of the flesh? Most of us would say, well, I can name a few sins that are works of the flesh. So we could. Let's just flip back here. Galatians chapter 5. Let's use the word of God. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Okay? For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Now we know why Paul is saying, beware of people of the flesh, because they actually oppose the Spirit. Although they're here, although they're kind, although they're nice, although they sing and help on First Fridays or whatever they do, wherever they're at, they actually oppose the Spirit. So that's why Paul is saying, beware. Okay? They oppose, so it says, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. We have a little battle going on inside of us. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, and this is what you would say, I know these works of the flesh: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, this is an ugly list, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. As I warned you, those who do these things will never inherit the kingdom of God. So you know those works of the flesh, those desires. You know those, and you look around any congregation and you see, yep, there's some of that, but not too much, a little. Let me show you some more works of the flesh in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Now, we just went through a nice list of evildoers, but what about these who mutilate the flesh? Well, we know them as Jews, Pharisees, keepers of the Ten Commandments. They're obedient to the Ten Commandments. They love the Ten Commandments. They're obedient to laws of God. They try and adhere to them. And the key phrase in this is they put their confidence in that, in the flesh. The flesh person is not just an evildoer, but he's a very strict, obedient person to the laws of God. To the point that that's his confidence. I have confidence in my life that I live, that it will be received by God. So the flesh shows up in two ways in the church. As an evildoer, that list that wants to rear its head, that list from Galatians, sexual immorality, or as those who put confidence in the life they live in the flesh, strictly to certain ones of God's codes and laws. Their confidence is in their ability to live by God's laws. What is your flesh? It's a good question you could be asking. Let me explain the flesh to you. And the easiest way to do this is this, and I'll use Bible phrases and Bible words so I'm not leading you astray. God gave us eyes. They're flesh. They're of the flesh. He said these are mutilators of the skin, of the flesh. And that's what we're talking about. The flesh, our body, my body. God gave us eyes to see. And I love to see beautiful things. I love to see you. I love to see 6 orioles at my oriole feeder yesterday. I love to see birds and grass and. But if I indulge my flesh, I'll be looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. Maybe excusing it. Oh, I'm forgiven. I love to speak. God gave me a mouth. It's flesh. I love to preach. I love to talk. I love to encourage. God is bringing me plenty of people to do that with. But if I indulge my flesh, my desire in me, I could very well let this little device that is necessary for living become a complaintive, slanderous, lying device. So I have to control it. It could become all about me. You're not paying attention to me. It could be all about me. I could just be talking all about me. It could become very fleshly. It's necessary. And in a little bit, we're going to see a phrase that says, your God is your belly. Now, it's not going to talk about food. But are we truth or not? God gave us an appetite for food. I need to eat and you need to eat. And that's your flesh telling you, that's your body telling you, I got to eat. But if you indulge your body in what you eat and drink, your body will become very unhealthy, maybe addictive to certain things, if you indulge it. So there it is. There's your body and its desires. And it's not just not sexual immorality. It's just not pornography. It starts with natural good desires that you and I have, and if we let them go, they become very damaging, very harmful. not only to my body, but to this body. And there are people who live according to their body's desires and cries, and they hunger not for food, for themselves. They're constantly feeding, and they want us to feed them. Feed me. Pat me on the back. Tell me how good I am. Do this for me. Do that for me. They're of the flesh. Their flesh rules them. That's the flesh. That's the flesh. Now, let me just clear this one up for you. Mutilators of the flesh versus we are the circumcision. Why in the world did God make the sign of Abraham circumcision? It's a little awkward to talk about church Sunday morning. But we are the circumcision. What is that? I'll tell you why. You'll know this answer. Bible trivia, you can answer. Help anybody on the street. What's this circumcision thing all about? Paul said, you, believer, have been circumcised with a circumcision not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Why did he give that awkward sign to Abraham? I'll tell you why. Because Abraham was too old. Abraham was too old to have sex. But he wanted to have children. And God said, look up. See all those stars? You're going to have that many children. And Abraham had sex. And God said, the sign of your faith will be circumcision. And you will have a seed in this starlit sky. And you will have many children by that seed. And so his sex organ was the sign of you are going to have children, old man. But it's not the physical children, the children of the flesh. It's the children of the sky. It's the children of faith through the seed, Jesus. And so you are his children, those of you who don't live by the flesh, but by the Spirit. The seed of Jesus Christ is in you. You are the circumcision. That's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So, here are these people still mutilating the flesh and thinking that seals the deal for us. Saved people, God's people. See? Got the sign. Now it's the flesh. Those aren't the children of God. He says you're mutilators. Children of Abraham, children of God, followers of Christ, are those who have been circumcised in your heart. And what is it? A cutting away of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. My body will get me to heaven. My body will get me to God. I will live by the rules, by the goodness I have within me, and God will say, you've been good enough. Come on in. That's the flesh. That's a person of the flesh who has never surrendered their life to him and said, I can't. They're in your churches. Philippi, America, Cornerstone. They're in our churches, and you need to beware of them. Dogs are scavengers, and they just kind of come along and gobble up any trash laying in your yard. They get into your garbage can. They just eat whatever's there. They take a little of this and a little of that, and they don't eat. They're not discerning. They just gobble, 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 gobble. Beware of dogs, he says. Here's a great, let me just read this to you. You just savor this. You just savor this right here. Listen, don't even bother to turn. I'll tell you where it's at in just a minute. But listen to this. This is amazing stuff. Who's he talking about? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? For the words of my groaning, oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I'm a worm, not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me. Trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircle me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Who's the person in that psalm? It's Jesus. And dogs surround him as he hangs there on the cross. It's anybody. It's evildoers. It's the Pharisees, those rule keepers, those good people in their flesh, and everything in between. He's surrounded by dogs that just want to gnaw at him. And Paul says, they're in your church, Philippi. They're there. Beware of them. Be careful. Beware of the evildoers. Beware of the do-gooders in the flesh, the mutilators of the flesh. Beware of the dogs nipping at you, nipping at you. They put confidence in their flesh. All their confidence is in who they are and how they live. They have the ability within themselves. That's the warning he gives here. Two kinds of flesh. That's what I want you to get from this. Two kinds of flesh. Caleb and Jade, I need you to get this. When you go to church here or anywhere, there are two kinds of flesh. There are the people who are there and they just don't care about their evil doing. They're where they slept last night, what they did, we know that's wrong. And there are other people in churches who were so strict, good, their life is good, you owe me, I'm good, everybody should see me, pat me on the back, I'm good, it's all about me, I am going to be good enough, and they are just as much an enemy of the church as the person on that end who's just plain outright evil. And he says, you watch out for them. Because they haven't surrendered their life and their flesh and what they do and who they are. They haven't surrendered to say, I can't, only you can. Take me. And so many churches today, You have people that leave because, well, I heard that person did this. And others leave because Mr. Do-Gooder can't stop complaining and needing the pat on the back. And they're so critical of other people constantly, constantly, constantly. And that'll drive you right out. Or they will drive you out because you're not as good as they are. You beware of both sides. You're looking for the person surrendered. Surrendered their flesh, their life, just to say, I'm a sinner. And I'm saved by your grace. And everything I have, it's all mine. But it's all yours. But it's all yours. That's what Paul just said. That's what Paul was just saying. Listen to what Paul says. If you have confidence in the flesh, I have more. And he's not going to tell you a whole list of sexual immorality. Listen to what he says. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the Hebrew of Hebrews. Okay, I got a pedigree. As to the law, a Pharisee. I was a teacher. I was a ruler. I was an elder. I was a deacon. And there are at Philippi and in the United States, there are deacons and elders and people on the board who are flesh that should be watched out for. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, you want to talk about passion? I was a persecutor of the church. There are passionate leaders in the church who have been on boards, passionate, who are of the flesh. You watch out for them. As to zeal, I persecuted the church because I thought the church was way off bounds. I thought that the church was not following God. So I persecuted them. That's what Paul says. I stomped them in the ground because they weren't as good as me. I held the coats when they stoned Stephen because they weren't living as good as we were by the law. And that still happens today. Good people persecute people growing in their lives with their sin, with their messed up stuff, come into our church. You better straighten yourself up if you're going to be around here, buddy. We're a church full of Pharisees, and I'll stone you right out that door. Paul says, as to passion, they persecuted the church. But I was wrong. But I was wrong. As to the law, I was blameless, he says. Anybody here want to venture out into that statement? Blameless to the law, the Ten Commandments. I don't have any sin. I see people persecuting other church people today on social media all the time. I see people persecuting people on social media that makes me ashamed that they're even calling themselves a Christian. And they think those other people have made a little mistake, gone down a wrong path, and boom, out come my bag of stones right now on social media. All over social media. Persecutor of the church. You don't know those people. Paul thought he was doing God a favor. And Paul was dead wrong. Well, there's his flesh. And it isn't anything about sexual immorality, drugs, alcohol, sex. It wasn't anything about that. Wasn't anything on there about lying. It wasn't anything on cheating on a wife. He wasn't even married. There wasn't anything on there about these big sins that you and I have listed. All his flesh was all his goodness in his body. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Threw it all away. All that goodness, all that law keeping, all that look at me in my life. Yeah, I have a few little sins, but my goodness way outweighs the little things that I do, the little ones, you know. I count it all loss. It's garbage. Close your ears, Caleb. Rubbish, it's menstrual rags. All that goodness, all that church keeping, all that zeal, all them First Fridays, all that, it's loss. Because I have confidence in my flesh. I am good. You just haven't discovered it yet. And there's a statement right here that will absolutely, should absolutely grab you. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as menstrual rags, in order that I may gain Christ. In order that I may gain Christ. There's only one kind of righteousness, and that's by faith in Christ. There's flesh. There's two kinds of flesh. There's the real bad, and then there's the real good. There's that dependence on me and my ability to live a good life, to help, to do right, to get weighed on God's scales and go, yeah, I think you just... There's that. That's nothing. There's only one righteousness, and I give that all away, he says, all my goodness, so that I could be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. I'm looking for a righteousness that's not mine. That's why I keep telling you, I am not righteous. The righteousness I have has been declared over me by God, by Jesus. You believe in me. You surrendered yourself to me. You see who you are, and you've given yourself to me. And I declare over you righteous. The seed of Abraham, the star of Abraham, a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I declare that over you, Son of God. Son of God. It's declared over me. And I can't have him any other way. I can't have Jesus or God any other way. I have to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes through faith. It's God's righteousness, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. There's only one righteousness. It's God's. Declared over us. Verse 10. That I may know him. That I may know him. You'll never know him. You will never know God. Ever. Living on your own righteousness. Trying to make the scales go, yeah. You will never, ever know God. Did you see what that's? This is not me. It says right here. that I may know him. Verse 10. Why do so many people not understand, not comprehend, what are you mean, Terry, when you say, I know God? I'm learning God. We're having a relationship. I get it. I'm knowing him. He knows me. I'm growing. What are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Paul says, I gave up all my accomplishments, all my goodness, all my religion, all my flesh, anything I thought I brought to the table, all gone. Because it's the only way I can know Jesus. It's the only way. So I just literally counted it as landfill stuff. Everything I had, and he was a rich man, to know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. I want to know his power. I want to know the power that resurrects lives. I want to experience the power of God. We talk about it. These guys want to see it. They want to see lives changed by the power of the resurrection. That power that totally lifts up dead people. They need to see it. And the only way to see it is for me to throw everything I own in the trash and go, here I am. And let him come in. I know him and I will experience the power of the resurrection. And here it is. And may share his sufferings. When we do that, we're willing to suffer with him. There's nothing so precious in my life. When I've already given it all away, there's nothing so precious. Somebody's going to take. It's going to bother me. I'll suffer with him. I'll suffer for him. I've already given it all away. I've told you it's all trash. The only way is to surrender by faith, to give it all. Give all my goodness and all my evil. Give it to him and say, here I am. I want to know you. I want to know your power. I want to share in your sufferings. Because nothing means anything to me anyway. Becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I might attain the resurrection of the dead. Now, we got to sort that one out. I want to become like him in his death. What's that mean? When he died, he gave it all. When he died, he gave it all. And I want to become like he was in his death. Everything about me, mind, body, soul, spirit. Love Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's what we say. Love Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Paul says, I want to be like that. Like Jesus in his death, when he gave his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything, his life, his being, everything. He gave it all. I want to be like that. That's how I want to be. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, you're going to say, and I'm going to say, wait a minute, there's only one way to attain the resurrection of the dead, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. But that's not what he's talking about. He's saying, I want to attain this, and I haven't attained it yet, but I want this power. I want to know him. I want to suffer with him. Whatever path, whatever means it takes, I got to get there. I've got to be like Jesus. I've got to surrender my flesh. I've got to live for him by any means. Whatever it takes, Lord, that's the prayer. That's what Paul's praying right here. He's praying. He's saying, pray the whatever it takes prayer. It's exactly what he's saying. Whatever it takes, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your power. I want to share in your sufferings. I want to become just like you in your death when you just surrendered everything. You surrendered everything, God. I want to be just like that, whatever it takes. By any means possible, I want to attain that resurrection of the dead. I want to follow right in your steps, whatever it takes. That's what he prayed. It's crazy. I want to live the resurrection. I want to live the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. I quote to you. No, I don't. I'll do better. If with Christ you died to the elementary spirits of the world, if then you have been raised with Christ, he's talking about people that you died with Christ and you have raised, you're living the resurrection. You're living totally in the power of the resurrection of him in you, changing you at any day, any minute, all the time. You have given everything you have to him, and you live by the power. You are raised with Christ. You're not living by your flesh anymore. And you're a super nice person. That's not your battery. You run by the Spirit. You have died and risen again. Romans 12. 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies, your flesh, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, that you can discern his will. I beseech you, I beg you, I am begging you, throw your body, your flesh, your talent, your goodness, your past, your law-keeping, blameless, perfect self, throw it on the altar to God. I'm begging you, he says. And let him come in and fill you. It's the only way you will know him. Paul is crying out for deep personal fellowship with Christ. Paul's heart is yearning and aching for Christ, the resurrected, dying, suffering Savior, to live in him. He is crying, begging, whatever means possible, for a deep personal relationship. He wants Christ to step right out of heaven and wrap his arms around him. He is crying to worship Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus alone, and put no confidence in the flesh. We're the true circumcision, the true stars of Abraham's sky, the true disciples of Christ, the true sons and daughters who worship Him. If you're of the flesh, you will sing to him. You will sing about him. If you're of the flesh, if you're doing this, if it's about you, you can't worship him, but you can certainly sing about him and sing happily. But you can't worship him. You're on the throne. If you're of the flesh, you will serve and participate at Philippi, at the United States, at Cornerstone. You will serve and worship yourself. You will serve and sing, but the glory won't go to Christ. It goes to you. And he says, I worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ. The glory's not yours and it's not mine. Oh, there are people all over churches singing modern contemporary hymns and psalms today who are of the flesh, happily in the choir. And the glory goes to them. The glory goes to them. It's all about them and their flesh. They don't worship Christ. They sing about Him. They help that church organization, but they don't worship Him. But those of us who are by the Spirit, this is all worship. It's all worship. I serve Him to worship Him. I sing about Him in worship to Him, and all the glory goes to His name. Caleb, Jade, there are people singing all over churches today. There's a few that are worshiping. Some are singing cool songs. There's a few that are worshiping. All the glory goes to Him. I put zero confidence in the flesh. The hymn writer was right. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. All to Him I owe. 0, 0, 0 confidence in my flesh. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Every drop. So, Paul says, beware. Beware when you walk into church in Philippi. Beware what's there. Evildoer flesh, really good flesh. Those by the Spirit that have believed, surrendered. All to You I owe. All to You I owe. To God be the glory. It says nothing to do with me. You've declared Your righteousness over me. Not my own. All to You I owe. So where's Paul at in this? That's a question we should ask. Where is Paul in this? The great apostle, where is Paul in this? Verse 12, the mature man, the apostle speaking. Not that I've already obtained this. He just said, I want to attain the resurrection. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. So, Jade and Caleb, nobody perfect. I haven't arrived. If you're immature, you haven't arrived. You're not perfect. I'm not talking about anyone perfect in churches. I'm not there. Paul said, I'm not. But I press on. I'm pressing on to know Him. I'm pressing forward. I'm all in to know Him, to know His Word. I don't want to be on milk anymore. I don't want to be a toddler in the Word. I'm learning the Word. I'm going. I can discern. I haven't arrived yet. Notice what he says. Notice what he says. This is beautiful. This verse, 1 Corinthians 3:12, absolutely amazing verse. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Oh, Christ Jesus has made you His own. You're not perfect yet. I'm not. Paul's not. Do you know why I'm a monster for Jesus? And it's not me. Because He's made me His own. He made me His own. I didn't make me His own. He made me his own. Terry come begging before him one night and said, Lord Jesus, I can't. I'm sinful. I'm flesh. No good dwells in my flesh. I can't. I bring zeros to you. I can't. And he made me his own. And now I'm like, boom. Idiot for Christ. Crazy for Christ. Amen? Amen. He made me his own. So I go nuts for Christ. Perfect? No. Arrived? No. Growing? I hope. Yes. Pressing? Pushing? Yes. I strive. Here's your verse. Here's your beautiful verse. I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal or the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Let those of us who are mature think this way. Think this way, mature people. Think this way. I haven't arrived, but I know my flesh can't get me there. No how, no way. Think that way. I'm going to pursue you with everything I have because you've made me your own. Not me. I love you. I love you, Jesus, because you made me your own. And I'm moving on. I'm moving on. I'm pursuing you, brother. I'm pursuing you because you made me your own. That's good stuff. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have on it. Watch those. Watch. You have three kinds of people in your church. Watch those who get this, who know this. Watch those who walk according to the example you have in us. Listen to this. Listen to this. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you with tears in my eyes, many of them in your church, Philippi, many of you walk as enemies of the cross in your flesh. You are so evil, you bring stink in there with your evil, or you are so good. So deserving, so unappreciated. Your past is so exemplar and nobody recognizes it. You have lived a life where God is clearly going to go, bing, you are in the upper echelon. Congratulations, come on down. You're an enemy of the cross. You're an enemy of the cross. There are two types of enemies in a church. I tell you with tears in my eyes, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end, surprisingly to them, is destruction. Their end is hell. Their end is not good. Their God is their belly. And that doesn't mean they like to eat. That means it's all about them, what they want and desire. And they will live good enough. Thank you very much. Just feed them. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame. What they glory in, what they praise God about. I'm looking at going, oh, that was about you. That wasn't about you. They glory in what I call and what the brothers in the Spirit call. That's a shame. I should be ashamed of that. You're glorying in that? What? They glory in their shame. And here it is. Here's your phrase. With minds set on earthly things. That's our word from last week. My mind, I think, my stinking thinking is about this life. It's about this stuff. It's about everything I have. All my accomplishments, my goodness, my flesh. Look what I've earned. Look what I've done. Look what I've deserved. Your mind can't move from here to there. Their minds can't do it. And they're actually, although like Paul, a rabid, rabid keeper of the Ten Commandments, they're enemies of the cross. When Paul thought he was doing the church a favor, as he knew it, he was killing the church. He was an enemy of the cross. And so are these. Beware. Beware. You need to be able to know this. I'm so happy you're here. I'm so happy you're here. You need to know this. And it's doable. It's not that hard. You just let the Spirit and the Word of God have its way so you can discern who these people are. They're enemies. Beware. Who is Paul? I don't count myself. I've made it. I haven't arrived. So if you haven't arrived, pat yourself on the back. You're with Paul. If you're still learning the word, good. Are you pressing on? Are you pressing on to the goal, the prize, the high call? Are you learning? Are you there? And are you glorying that he made you his own? So I'm pressing on to make him my own. That's what Paul said. I don't own him entirely. That's what Paul said. There's still parts of me that I own. And I'm pressing to make it all his. Him to be all mine because he has made me his own. That's honest. That's just honest right there. Quite a teaching there, Paul. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from heaven we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform my lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord. My beloved, stand firm in the Lord. He has made you his own. His own. It's tough. We really need to examine ourselves. Really need to ask ourselves. Am I about the flesh? Am I living a good enough life that the scales are somehow, and I'm in the top part of humanity and I've done all this, and am I immature? That'd be a good question. Would I be what he calls an immature believer? I'm unskilled in the word and I have trouble discerning what's really going on. You're immature, but he's made you his own. Rejoice. He has made you his own. And if you're mature, amen. You haven't attained it yet. He's made you his own, but you're still making him your own. There's still parts. You're clearing away. You're learning. You're growing. You're pressing on. It's not you. It's because of him. He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. Nothing here glories in me. It's all him. It's beautiful. I'm going to ask you to come sing. This is a tremendous morning for you to do a little self-exam. Check the circumcision. Man, is it a flesh thing? Is it just you? Or is your heart being cut? Is the flesh of your heart, your ability, your goodness, I will be a good person, I will live, I will serve, I will sing, and you will be pleased enough to go, yep, you're on my side. Or has he declared over you righteousness? My son, my daughter. As they sing this song of total surrender. I'm going to be right here praying. I'm going to be here praying for us. I'm just going to tell you, this passage busted my chops yesterday. This passage busted my butt yesterday. I said, babe, we got to pray. Man, we've just got to pray because this thing is killing me right here. You don't got to preach about this long before you see the flesh in you just going, there's more than I wanted to see. And this is a time right now. This is a time right now for us as a congregation to go, there's no room for flesh here. Jesus, I can't but declare me your own. Everything I have is yours. My evil and my good goes in the hopper. Call Heimco. I want you.